Good morning and welcome to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. I'm Sue Tabb. Thanks for joining our conversation this morning. Today's guest is a name you will no doubt recognize, Erin Brockovich, the legal clerk turned activist, portrayed by Julia Roberts in the film that bears her name. And Erin is still at it. She is in the trenches, joining communities, educating people on how to fight against all odds. Now, on the 20th anniversary of that film, Erin Brockovich is on the phone with us to talk about her new book, a book that sounds the alarm on the global water crisis. It's called Superman's Not Coming. Hello, Erin.
Good morning, Sue. How are you?
I am great. It's such a thrill to have you on the phone. I'll tell you, first off, I have to say there aren't many people in their lifetime that will say, yeah, Julia Roberts played me in the movie. Is that still a thrill for you?
Yes, and it has been a strange experience. It was then and it continues to be. You don't think those things in your life. I certainly never thought that as a kid. Oh, you know, I'd get involved in water and Julia Roberts would play me in a film. So I'm still kind of, processing that. But I'm thankful for it. It was a platform that started a conversation a long time ago and continues today.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about, because 20 years have gone by. But still, I feel like your name is so recognizable and even synonymous maybe with words like champion, crusader, fighter. But how has that fame, that notoriety helped you in your continued work to advocate for the change that you do?
Well, it's been a double-edged sword. I think in some situations, if I come to town, they start hiding even more stuff. But, I have always said from day one, what got me through was not... a PhD or a science degree. I was a single mom. I was working. I cared about water. I cared about family and health. I grew up with an appreciation for that. I'm from the Midwest. And when I began my work in Hinckley, it was all of those very common sense set of skills, especially as a mom, that sprung me into action. And it was a mom in Hinckley. And over 20 years, as I've weaved in and out of countless communities in every state, not only here, but globally, it is a mom, her family's been harmed, somebody's lied to her, and she gets that little common sense kind of right there in your gut, you're not telling me the truth, and they stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they figure out Superman's not coming. I figured out Superman's not coming, but we, the people, are here. And there's a real movement with moms on the rise, and we share with you in the book other communities, and 9 times out of 10, it will be a mom that's like, I know what's happening. I'm going to make it my job to learn about it. They get in there and they fight. They run for city council and they win. They change policies. They get things done. You're seeing that moment, and I think we're in a wake-up moment, if you will, where for years, whether we were comfortable or complacent or just had a false illusion that something would have our back. And in this situation, we're going to talk about water, and we're finding out that's not true.
Right.
So while it can be daunting, it's very hopeful and it's very empowering. And the message is, we're here. And that's what I learned about myself as a mom. And that's what I learned in the community. That's what they taught me. I taught them. It was that mom, this mom, and across the board. And if we can wake ourselves back up, we can get things done.
And I know, Erin, I'm a mom, too. I have 2 college-age daughters. And the one thing, you know, they call me Mama Bear because I, like you, like when I really believe in something, you know, I go to work and, you know, I don't stop until I get results. And, you know, that's what I try to teach them as a mom, how to advocate for themselves. And I know with your new book, the whole reason I believe behind Superman's Not Coming, that title that you chose, is because you can't wait for somebody else to fix the problem.
Right.
And you're out educating people how to become their own sort of local heroes and go at it to get the work done.
Right. This book has just got everything in it that, and oftentimes we won't realize that we need to get something done until we understand what's gone wrong. We give you a good look at where our system failures are, and especially in our environment, in many ways, we're doing things ass backwards when it's putting chemicals in the environment first and studying them during the process that we're being exposed to them.
Mm-hmm.
These studies need to come in and show what it does to the environment first and people before you ever put it into the marketplace.
The water crisis, Aaron, at hand, does the average person really know how bad it is out there?
I don't think they do, because I think they think that, you know, a municipality or a policy has it. But we are dealing with antiquated policies, failing infrastructure, and adding more chemicals to the system along with pollution. And it starts at a very basic level with water. And one of the first things you can do is, it's easy enough to understand your water. I think we think it's complicated, and it's not. That's one of my first steps is consider this your invitation. The book, mm-hmm. Superman's Not Coming. Our education is vital, but you don't have to have that science degree to be aware of, get involved, and protect your water. We bring most water into our municipal systems from surface. We do aquifers as well, but that's another story how that works. But all water has organic matter in it. And so at that point, I've seen communities go, ooh, organic matter, it's science. No, it's not. Organic matter is dirt.
Mm-hmm.
So as the water comes in, we have to clean the dirt, right? So we use chlorination. At that juncture is where we get some of our first sets of problems, because chlorine and organic matter create trihalomethane, which is toxic and very regulated by the Safe Drinking Water Act. And at that point, if they can't control the THMs, they will get boil water notices, they'll get contamination, they'll get a lot of consumers calling what's going on. And the Safe Drinking Water Act requires that you put on the appropriate filtration system. Now, this is a really good conversation to have, because on the upfront, instead of hiding and lying and cheating and doing it cheap, this is the moment where you've got to put infrastructure first, safety and people first, and do it the right way. Had we done that in the beginning, we wouldn't be looking at a big water crisis that is clearly here.
Right.
So instead of doing that, they've now thrown ammonia into the system. The ammonia creates another entire problem. One, it renders chlorination less effective, and we're seeing more Legionnaire disease throughout the country. Legionella, not an airborne disease. It's a water disease.
Mm-hmm.
Two, what happens is ammonia and chlorination together make water mad, and you can damage the distribution system. There's another thing we have to look at. Distribution systems are unregulated, and we have millions and millions and millions of miles of it throughout the U.S. We have about, I believe, 18 million lines that are still lead.
And they're unregulated?
The distribution system is unregulated. And so when people start, they're like, okay, well, that interests me. I'm going to look further into that. And so what happens from there is the water, now that you've added ammonia, and it's not being dealt with appropriately at its point source and at the municipality, you cause iron, lead, and manganese to precipitate out of the pipe to your tap. This is what happened in the community of Hannibal, Missouri. And they, in some points in the distribution system, had lead levels higher than Flint.
Wow.
These moms weren't going to have it. Now, they got busy. They ended up running for city council. They won. They got a referendum out. They had educated the town on ammonia. They got into a legal battle. And I'll tell you, as of March 2020, they're lead-free.
So wow.
The moms and the women rising up. And we share these stories with you in the book. So at a very basic level, from organic matter to chlorination to trihalomethane to wanting to go the cheap way, adding ammonia, we've created a national issue with our water just in with one adding a chemical, because we want to do it the cheap way and we don't want to do it the right way, which costs some money, mm-hmm. and that's put on the appropriate filtration system. You know, in Poughkeepsie, New York, and this wasn't an angry mom, I'm sure angry mom is good, and I don't want that to be a bad term.
Right.
Because she channels that energy into a solution.
Right.
And
right.
into finding her answers. So I never want that, because that's inspirational. Mom's on the rise.
Right.
They're amazing.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. Today, we're talking with environmental activist, consumer advocate, and renowned crusader Erin Brockovich, who 20 years after the movie that made her a household name is still out advocating for environmental causes. In her newest book, Superman's Not Coming, she takes on the global water crisis and tells us how we can become our own local heroes in the quest for change. Let's get back to our conversation. Talk to us a little bit about what the average citizen might be able to do, just at a minimum, if they want to have an impact. But maybe they're not inclined. Maybe they're like, I'm no Erin Brockovich. Maybe they're not inclined to run for city council or to, you know, knock on doors, but they still feel like they want to make a difference. What can the average person do?
You know, we start with, you know, the book. You can say, consider this your invitation. And it is about knowing yourself and empowering yourself and even challenging yourself, that you may think that this is something you can't understand, but you can. And just doing that, sometimes that challenge to yourself awakens yourself and gives you a lot more encouragement. You know what? I can do this. And your cause may not be water, but it could shift to something else.
Right.
And this is one thing that really, really has concerned me. And as you peel back the layers of the book, you're going to get to yourself. And
right.
That's the most important message of all. And that's what I have seen across this country. We, and in many instances it can be women, whether we've stopped believing in ourselves or we've been told you're not this, you're not that, you know, we get under a lot of pressure. And I think if we take that negative noise on and we start to believe it, we don't realize, but we get disempowered. We can feel down. We feel like not using our voice. And you need to find that voice again. And if it's been lost, whatever your cause is, and you read through the book, if it's not water, it's something else. If the book can help you find your voice again, that is the first step to complete success. And I worry across this country that we've lost our voice for a whole lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope this book is an invitation for you. And then, you know, we have 9 steps. We talk about step 2, know your power. And you can make a difference. And so when you find yourself, you'll find your power. Don't be afraid to get curious. Ask questions. You know, we're really good at this. And I'm one of those people that ask questions. And if I'm irritating you with the more questions I ask, I know I'm on the right track. And just get curious. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to make a phone call. And it's through that process, there will be, I guarantee, a moment where you're going to go, I don't think so.
Right.
You know, step 4 is separating fact from fiction and actually deception.
And is some of that gut for you? Like just a gut
totally.
Feeling?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And I can tell you, every woman I've met with, we're keen on this. I grew up with this. And when I began my work in Hinckley, those were the sets of tools that I had. And I recognized that I was born and raised in the Midwest, and I grew up with tornadoes, and they scare me.
Yeah.
And I could be outside. I was always outside, so I have a connection to the environment. I think in a way we've disconnected from the environment, and if you reconnect with it, you find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel tornadoes coming early in the morning. The air is very oppressive. It's hot. It's muggy. These things exist for us, but we're taught not to listen to them or we blow them off. But
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, that's your voice speaking, and you need to stop and kind of take notice. Same thing down in the BP oil spill. There was this sense. You feel it, you know it, but you can't always identify it. Don't separate from that.
Yeah.
But for me as a child, let me tell you, I knew it was coming. I'd go about my business, but when the moment happened or the sirens went off, I didn't dawn on me to call the Weather Channel to ask if it was an F4 or 5. I didn't care. I
right.
needed to get to safety. It is a really strong sense, that common sense set of skills that I went to work with that I still use today, that most of us do, but I don't know that we're in tap with it. We've moved away from it. But that's where your voice is. And I'm honestly, women are keen on this. They often use it, moms in particular. I watch my own daughter with her girls and her children, and I can see that happening for her. And she stays with it, and she's never wrong. So, yes, it is a strong set of skills that we all have. We're born with these, but we move away from them. And I think when we connect back to them, we find a strong sense of self.
You know, as I talk to you, Aaron, it's occurring to me as you're speaking that your book, Superman's Not Coming, isn't only about the global water crisis and what people can do. And it's a self-help book. It's a book about empowerment as much as it's a book about anything else. Would you agree?
Yes, it is. And thank you. And if you pull the layers back, water is life, right? And I find it fascinating that there's really no two bodies of water anywhere on this planet the same. They're kind of individual like we are. And that my fight became for water, but what I really learned was it became a fight for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we are water, we are the environment, and without it, there is no us. And we got disconnected. And so as you peel back the layers of the environment, which we are, and the water, it's in that process that you realize who you are. And for me, that is the greatest empowerment and strength of all.
Stephen Colbert described you recently as a real-life superhero. How does that feel? How do you respond to that?
Superman's not coming. but you know what? I talk to people all the time. We are always in search of a hero. And it's nobody's perfect, and I'm not, and I'm happy to share and embrace my vulnerabilities, but I want other people to learn that the real message is you look for a hero, but it exists within yourself, and find that and rise within yourself, because we can't, no one of us could be anywhere and everywhere at any given time during the day, but right there in that moment, you can be that hero. You don't have to stop and pause and call someone else or think someone else has got it. So it's that moment. I am, and I always have been, there's no I, it's a we. And want to draw out of that next person, I don't know. I am here and I will support you. And in the book, we talk about that. People send me an email. I think they may be looking for permission to get involved. I'm going to give you that.
Yep.
But what they really need is support. And oftentimes, we're always looking for someone else to support us when we won't support ourselves. We won't get behind ourselves and believe in ourselves. And so I'm not Superwoman, but each one of us has our own superpower and our own hero within. And that's what I want you to find, because that's where change occurs.
Right.
And if every one of us did that, we would work towards that solution.
Imagine what we could accomplish if all of us had that belief in ourselves, right? Imagine what we'd accomplish. It's mind-boggling.
Absolutely.
You have a huge social media following, too. It's funny. I was on social media the other day, and I followed you. I looked up your accounts, and I was like, wow. She's got a huge following here. And I know you're, a very requested speaker on the international lecture circuit. But in terms of your legacy, and you will have one, what would you like that to be? If people had one takeaway from the work that you've done, what would you want that to be?
Yeah, I've been asked this before, and it's always been, someone who gave a damn.
Yeah.
And I worry... and I worry for my grandkids, the book is dedicated to them, that because of everything, we give up, and I don't know, we don't give a damn, and I just don't think that is the energy of who we are as a person, and we need to find us again. You need to find you again, and I have learned that in that space of the environment, if we would just stop being so angry about the past. And look, I could blame anybody and everybody, couldn't we all, on some of our environmental issues. But where does that get us? And I really teach about realizing who you are, assessing who you are. We have this idea that we're supposed to be something, and then if we didn't become it, we're disappointed. this is the beauty of we as people. If you assess yourself and not value it on the house you live in, the car you drive, or how much you have in the bank, but who you are.
Yeah.
What is your character? What are your strengths? That is your most empowering moment. But we are living in a crazy world.
Oh, yeah.
I never thought I'd live to see some of the things that we're going through.
Right.
It can be daunting. We are spinning faster and faster. And it reminds me of a computer. You know when a bunch of data comes in at once and that blue dot just starts spinning?
Yes. That's all of our lives right now. I mean, we've been talking about this on the radio. It's just everybody feels a little bit out of control, I think.
I feel it. And I know we all do. And maybe we don't always talk about it. COVID is here.
Yeah.
And it's given us a really hard stop.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch as we emerge, and I've always said, we are an energy, and we need to be with each other. I think it's been extraordinarily hard to be away from each other. And what is it everybody wants? Obviously, good health. They don't want a virus, but they want to get outside. And when you can get out there and reconnect with the simple things we've moved away from, the warmth of the sun,
mm-hmm.
the smell of fresh rain, taking a walk and feeling the energy of sand on your feet and listening to the waves and breathing in the salt air, just a moment.
Yes.
If you could stop long enough to take a breath, get away from the negativity and breathe.
Yep.
You can hear yourself think. You can hear yourself feel. And this is a space of renewal. And I think we are in that moment.
Yes. Erin, before we leave you, one last question. How, as a mom, do you balance all of this? I think a lot of people listening say, geez, she's an author. She's a speaker. You're an activist. You run your own foundation. How do you stay balanced and how do you manage it all?
It's very difficult. I wouldn't tell you it's a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm forgiving of myself. I can sometimes lose my temper. But I allow myself to be human.
Yes.
There's going to be a day, I'm sorry, I don't have a bunch of makeup on. Oh, get over it.
Right.
Okay,
I love you.
I drive my kids crazy. They're like, are you going to answer your phone? I'm like, no, I am not. I am
right.
not picking up the phone because you know what? My house is on fire right now and I can't deal with that. And
right.
It's okay. I'm sorry, burned dinner. Deal with it. Get Taco Bell. It's okay. Now, you know what? I am going to drop to the floor and I am going to cry. And I'm going to allow myself it. We have to allow ourselves. Oh, my gosh, to be imperfect.
Right.
And I think, you know what, we put too much stress on ourselves. I drove home one day, and I'm like, I don't know who the hell I'm trying to keep up with. And then I realized, myself. And
right.
I brought it off myself.
Totally.
This is my effort moment. I'm going to the park. I'm going for a walk. Hey, no, you know what? I'm laying down on the couch for the next hour, and I'm going to watch Sex and the City. Honestly. Give yourself a break.
Yes. I say that all the time to women because I think that you're right. It's self-imposed. We put these self-imposed, ridiculous standards on ourselves that no one, by the way, can actually achieve. They're lying if they say they can. And we think that we can live up to this standard that's impossible. You got to give yourself a break. And I always say this, an interesting life is a messy life. Things don't go as planned.
Oh, totally.
Things happen. An interesting life is a messy life and live with it. You know, that's the way it is. So I know
Absolutely.
That we've already taken more than our time that we were supposed to take with you, but it's been such an interesting chat. Thank you so much. I want to again say Superman's Not Coming, Erin Brockovich's brand new book. It is out now. Get it. I'm going to order it today. Thank you, Erin, so much for all of your insight and for all that you do to further these important causes.
Well, thank you for such a wonderful conversation. And, you know, it's really great to share. And, you know, we need to come out. And I've always told my kids, you know, there is not necessarily any perfection. And if you honestly bounce into Ward and June Cleaver, I told my kids, run.
Yeah.
It's okay to be be you, and none of us are perfect. We can all be a hot mess at a moment. Hey, but you know what? That's okay, and that's what makes you human, and that is what's great about you.
That's right. Well, thank you, Aaron. Very well said. Again, Superman's Not Coming, available now. Aaron Brockovich, it's been a pleasure.
Hey, Sue, thank you. It's been wonderful.
Thank you once again to Aaron Brockovich, who was kind enough to join us today to talk about her decades-long work as an environmental activist, a career that has not only made her famous, but allowed her to empower others to be their own Superman, fighting for change and creating a safer, more sustainable environment for generations to come. You've been listening to Exceptional Women on Magic 106.7. It is our honor and privilege to shine a light on the change makers and to provide a platform for people who are out doing meaningful work in our communities. Thank you for paying attention and for helping us create engaging programming. We'd love to hear from you if you know someone who is making a difference. Just email us or send us a message on our Magic Facebook page. I'm Sue Tabb. I'd like to invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 7:30 for another edition of Exceptional Women. Have a great day, everyone.